brother of us, new brother that I met, Andre de Villiers. So Andre, can I pray for you before you start? Andre is going to share us what God has done in his life. He's got a wonderful testimony, and he does it with music, which is awesome. I'm not going to tell anything more. He will tell us what God did in his life and his journey. Just stretch out your hands to him. Let's pray for him. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being here. Jesus, we give you glory. You are the King of Kings. I thank you, Lord, that you saw this when you went through all the sufferings, when you were humiliated on that cross. You saw this day. You saw your children gathering together and you inhabiting your children. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for your wisdom. You are all wise, all powerful. And we thank you that you are here this morning. We pray for Andre, Lord, that your blessing, your anointing, your Holy Spirit will just come and rest on him and speak through him. Thank you for what you've done in his life. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. It's a joy to be here. I joined my first band when I was 13 years old. By the time I was 16, I was making more money than my mom. I had an amazing mother. My mom worked two jobs to put my brother and myself to school. And at that time, my mom worked for a doctor as his receptionist. She'd come home in the evenings, she'd have supper with us. And then she'd go out again, she'd go selling clothing door to door to put my brother and myself to school. Thank God for moms. And so I dropped out of school at the age of 16 to help the family. For the next 14 years, I lived a life of absolute decadence as a rock and roll musician. At the age of 30, God intervened in my life. And I surrendered my life to Christ. And when I became a Christian, I'd never done what normal people would call an honest day's work in my life. All I could do was sing and write songs. And so I didn't know how God would provide for me or my family. I thought maybe God would take me from being a successful secular musician and make me a successful Christian one. Well, for the next 19 years, I never sang in public. During that time, God was building some character into me and preparing me for this time. At the age of 49, God called me to ministry. And I've been traveling around the world ever since then, just sharing the goodness of God wherever anyone will listen. The guy who led me to the Lord, he was the most amazing young man. He was late teens, maybe early 20s. And as I said, as a secular musician, I was very well known. I had a number of albums out. And so he came to join my band. I believe God told him to come to my band. And I can remember, you know, not knowing God, I thought this young guy wasn't having any fun. And so I did my best to corrupt him. But he just faithfully served God, and he faithfully served me. And after a while, the peace that was on this young man's life started irritating me. And I'd ask him all kinds of questions. And he'd always say, look, it doesn't matter what my opinion is. My opinion is no better or no worse than yours. But let me tell you what the Bible says. So what intended to be an argument ended up being a Bible study. A short while before God rescued me, my young friend, he went to the Lord in prayer and said, if you don't save this guy soon, I'm going to leave his band. And so God rescued me, and here I am. As I said, even though I wasn't singing or performing in public, I had a reputation here in South Africa of being a singer and a songwriter. And so I started writing commercials for various companies, corporate commercials, and writing music for movies. The media guy's now gone. I was going to play a video, but he's not here. I don't know what to do now.
Audience! Audience!
Let's play the first one. Is the audio on?
So this is a commercial that I sang and wrote on.
I remember the days of my life. I recall the faces, mostly yours. Magic moments, life was a mystery. There's no place on earth that we'd rather be. Moving up, going through some changes, storing up the memories. Then you gave me the light of my life. I always gave the best I could give.
Saved, I wanted to share my faith with everybody, and obviously because I had very little education, all I knew is God touched me in a profound way and was really moved. And so the first victim of my Christian zeal was my mother. I can remember driving up to my mum's place in Saldanha Bay to go and share the gospel with her. And I said this to her, I said, "Mom, I've got good news for you and I've got bad news for you." And she said, "What's that, my boy?" I said, "Mom, the good news is I got saved and going to heaven. The bad news is you're not, you're going to hell." Help us, Jesus. But anyway, my mom saw through my stupidity and God touched her in any way, and she surrendered her life to Christ and she served God for the rest of her days. God is faithful. He's not remotely interested in how clever we are. The next victim of my zeal was a friend of mine who fixed up buildings on the inside. And so I thought I'd write a song for him to let him know what God had done for me on the inside. It's a song called Interior Decorator.
Interior Decorator, oh, why perfect creator. I know I'm not much on the outside. Inside I'm a brand new man. I got the recreated spirit. This old body got life within it. I know I'm not much on the outside. Inside I'm a brand new man. Who knows? Doesn't quite understand. What's going on? Can't stop it. I'm falling in love. You say he's a little bit crazy. You say what you like. Nothing can faze me. I know that I know that I know you'll never change my mind. And I don't claim to understand it. Interior decorated, planted. I know I'm not much on the outside. Inside I'm a brand new man. Who knows, but doesn't quite understand. What's going on, can't stop it, I'm falling in love. What's going on, can't stop it, I'm falling in love. What's going on, can't stop it, I'm falling in love.
cabin interior decorator. I had a fantastic family. I have a wonderful wife, 4 children, 3 grandchildren. We've been on a journey. I'm going to share some of the journey with you this morning. The song I'm going to sing for you now is a song that I wrote for my daughter. It's a song called You and Me. She's a lot like me. Give the frog. It's very early in the morning to sing. When my oldest son was born, I had an understanding of a father's love for a child. Our dads are meant to teach us how to be fathers. My dad left home when my mom was pregnant with me. My dad was a school teacher. He lived in Natal and I lived in the Cape, and as I mentioned, as a young man, I was a well-known musician, so I had a number of albums out. And so my music would all be played on the radio, and therefore I tour around South Africa promoting my music. Every year I'd go to the town where my dad lived, because it was my intention one day to meet my father, to start a relationship with him. This went on for a number of years. Every year the same result, this would be the year that I'd meet my dad. One day I got a call to tell me my father was dead. And said I'd go bury him. When I got to the funeral, it was a very strange, surreal experience. I was a stranger at my own father's funeral. I knew nobody there. I asked my uncle I'd met if I could see my father's body. I wanted to see what he looked like. I'd never seen any pictures of him. And so my uncle told me my dad had drunk himself to death. And that he looked awful, and so I never got to see my father. Because my dad was a relief school teacher, one of those teachers to go from one school to the next, and so because of this, he never lived in a house, he lived in a hotel room. And so I went to my father's hotel room to go see if I could find anything in his belongings that I could take home and show my family something of my dad's life. While I was looking through his belongings, I found a whole bunch of newspaper cuttings about myself. And there were letters from my school. My father had written to my school to find out how I was doing. And so it turns out my dad had followed my whole life. We never met. And so my oldest son was born. I wrote this next song for him as a promise to him that I'd never do that to him. Son, who I wrote that song for, is a very gifted young man. Everybody in this room will know somebody like him. Everybody's friend. A great sportsman when he was 19 years old, was playing provincial rugby. He gave his life to Christ when he was 15 and was very much in love with God. And because of my son's sporting abilities, he got a scholarship to go to a very exclusive private school. At that school, as a young Christian man, my son thought he could do anything he liked with his life. They started experimenting with drugs. By the time my son was 21 years old, he was a crack cocaine addict. He had a habit that was costing him a huge amount of money. He stole most of what we had as a family to support his habit. We had drug dealers phoning our house, threatening to kill him. If we didn't pay them, the money he owed them, so we paid them. One time I was out of town, my wife and my daughter had to go to a crack house to go fetch my daughter's cell phone. This is how we lived. But during this time, I believe we learned the most about our God. We learned the difference between Christian cliches, Christian reality. We began to understand what the peace of God is that transcends all understanding. Towards the end of this episode, my son, who'd been this happy-go-lucky young man with everything going for him, would sit in a public toilet in a place called Sea Point in Cape Town. He'd sit there all night long smoking crack cocaine. But the nature of this drug, one of three things happened to you. Either run out of money, or you go into a drug-induced coma, or you die. So every night my son would go out, we'd never know if this would be the last time we'd ever see him. One evening, the strain of this became too much for my wife and myself. And so I took my son to a place called the Ark, which is a ministry for homeless people in Cape Town. I thought perhaps I could help with my son there. I can remember the two of us sitting outside this place. It was 10:30 at night. I was about to drop him off and just leave him there and wash my hands of him. And then God reminded me of the words in the song that I just sung for you when he was born, that I would never let him down. And so I turned the car around and I took my boy back home. A short while after that, God rescued him and was once again faithfully serving God, and he's the father of my three grandchildren. God is faithful. The song I'm going to sing for you is a song that I wrote while the storm was raging in the life of my family. It's a song called Get Over It. And I was feeling really sorry for myself while I was writing this song. I had these images of holes everywhere. There's a hole in my soul, and a hole in the roof, and a hole in the floor. Just holes everywhere. And God showed me a great thing. Thank you. I was being interviewed on the radio some years back. I was a secular radio station, and because I'm a Christian, the guy's trying to make me look stupid on the radio. And so he said to me, "Can you prove to me that God exists?" So I said to him, "Yes, I can. My wife, she's living proof that God exists. So she's a trophy of God's grace, God's greatest gift to me." If you do the arithmetic, you'll figure out the first few years of our relationship, I was a musician, and I didn't know God. So life was a nightmare for my wife. We've been on honeymoon now for over 35 years.
Yes.
God changes things.
Yes.
It's a song I wrote for called Living Proof. Got a crush on you, babe. I start cussing and speak your name. They told me the stuff wears out, so how come I still feel the same? From their set eyes on you, there was never a doubt. I always knew this is how it would be. I got you and you got me. You're living proof that God exists. How much you must love me. I can move mountains. I can walk on the sea. You bring out the best in me. So anymore, we've been around the block a few times. Looks like going around some more. Knowing everything you knew, you still chose to see it through. You put your trust in me, and you saw all that I could be. You're living proof that God exists. How much you must love me. I can move mountains. I can walk on the sea. You bring out the best in me. I believe in you and me. I believe in the family. I believe nothing happens by chance. I believe in this romance. You're living proof that God exists. How much you must love me. I can move mountains. Adopted son. His name is Rowan. He came to us when he was 4 years old. And how did it happen this way? He was my oldest son's best friend, and his 2 4-year-old boys, they would play together. His mom had some very serious issues, and after a while she abandoned her 3 children at an orphanage in Cape Town. So we go on weekends, we go fetch him at the orphanage, bring him home to come and play with my son, who was his best friend. And they would play together. After a short while, after he'd come to visit regularly, he just seamlessly integrated into our family, and we adopted him. His mother came back on the scene when he was about 7 years old, and she wanted to reconnect with him. So we thought it'd be a good idea for him to spend time with his biological mom. So she'd take him away on weekends. After a while, we found out that her boyfriend was molesting him. And so we had to stop her from seeing her own child. And before this time, we viewed my wife and myself as a son. Well, his mom viewed us as this wonderful Christian couple as looking after her kids, but because we had to stop her from seeing her son, she developed a deep hatred for us. And every time she'd phone him, she'd poison his mind against us. She'd tell him we'd stolen him from her. He was just a little boy when he came to us. On his 18th birthday, he ran away from home to be with his mom. After 2 weeks, she threw him out. He was too proud to come home, so he just kept running. This is a story of God's work in progress. And we walk to the Lord long enough to know He'll bring it to resolution. This was a lot of years ago that this happened. We got a call recently from the song I'm going to sing for you now, but it was a song that I wrote for him, as I told you. And I put it out on YouTube, I don't know, a long time ago, 15 years ago, whatever, a long time ago. And I got this call from this woman in St. Martin in the Bahamas. And she said, I've met your son here. Well, we were under the impression that he's in Paris, in France. So we thought it was some crazy woman just talking nonsense. So we said, well, thanks very much anyway. She said, no, we found your son. I said, what's your name? She said, his name's Roland. I said, how did you find him? She said, no, I'm a missionary. And I go feed people that are living in the streets. And I found your son there. And I've been feeding him. I said, well, how on earth did you find me? She said, no, he told me that you'd written a song for him. And he said, go look on YouTube, and he heard the song, and she heard the song. And so she tracked me down, and she called me, and she put him on the phone, and we spoke together. So God is doing something over there. It's a song for home.
Anytime you want, you can come home. Want you to know you're not alone. And I wonder where you are. Do you still have the scar? Wonder what your memories are. Home.
And like when you go and ponder that story and think of what the chances are of that happening. The other side of the world, God sends a mission and finds my son on the street. If I hadn't written that song, there would have been nothing for him to say. Just unbelievable. My younger son, his name is Daniel. He's a really sweet young man. And he came to me when he was about 13 years old. He was very cross with me. He was upset with me that I hadn't written a song for him yet. So I wrote this next song for him. I can remember calling him into my room to play the song for him. And he sat at the foot of my bed. I started singing. Got as far as the first chorus, and we both started crying. So I said to me, Dad, he said, please take that song off the CD. He was very concerned what his friends were going to do to him when he heard his dad singing him this love song. And so I told him I'd take the song off the CD. The short of all that, on Sunday morning, I was singing in our local church, and my son was there with his three girlfriends. And he said to me, Dad, he said, if you play that song, I'll kill you. And I played it anyway. Unfortunately for me, three girlfriends, I went up to them after the meeting, and they said, you must be an amazing person for your dad to speak of you this way. And she came back to me and said, you can put the song back on the CD. Which is where it is now for. But we parents, we make a strange transition at around about this time in the lives of our children. When our kids are 9 or 10 years old, they look up to us as though we're God. We can do nothing wrong, say nothing wrong. For some reason, I'll never figure out. They get to be about 13 or 14, and we parents, we wake up in the morning to discover we know nothing anymore. And you'll hear me make mention of that as the song goes on. You may not understand the things I do. Know this one thing. What I do for you. I have no other motive. My heart is pure in an ever-changing world. Know this one thing for sure. Daniel, you are in my eyes the gift of God. The prize, my heavenly reward. Here on earth, you'll never know, my little friend, what you are worth. When I come home sometimes, find you asleep, I sit by your side and ask my God to keep you safe from harm, make you strong in an ever-changing world, always somewhere you belong. Daniel, you are in my eyes the gift of God, the prize, my heavenly reward. Here on earth, you'll never know, my little friend, what you are worth. Just recently, I went from deity to knowing nothing at all. No more hugs, only handshakes. My biggest fan just became a man. And girl, you are in my eyes the gift of God. Hear a song about my grandchildren. I don't normally ever sing the song, but I thought today would be a good time. names are Liam, Juliet, and Nina. Apple of my. Look at you now, how you've grown. How the winds of change have blown. Your long ago is my yesterday. How the time slips away. Liam carries my guitar. Juliet dances with the stars. Along comes Nina, precious late lamb. They love me just the way I am. I love you now even more than I did then. Grandbabies are now my little friends. Indiscretion shook off with a shrug. Forgiveness wrapped up in a hug. Bright colors turn a little gray. Don't remember the things I'm trying to say. I look at the world through your eyes. Tell my stories in lullabies. Won't be long now before you're all grown up. These moments are few and far between. We make excuses, make a little time. Make hay while the sun still shines. Come visit Nana up on the hill, we can sit and look out over the bay, watch the tide roll away. Look at you now, my eye you grow. Okay, I've got one more song for you.
Get the little video clip ready. Don't play it yet, I'll tell you when, okay? I'm just getting ready, so.
I get to travel around the world quite a bit. In August in 2005, I was singing at a drug rehab center in Mozambique. A place called the name of Healing Wings. And immediately after singing there, I had to go to Texas in the United States to go sing in some prisons. I believe very much in the local church. I believe God wants us connected. I believe He wants us accountable. And so I like my church to know what I'm doing and where I'm going and whatnot. So on my way from Mozambique there to go to these prisons in Texas, I stood up in church on Sunday morning and my wife passed there to give them a report back. And I said this to them, I said, I just got back from rehab and I walked to prison. And so they prayed for me. And it went well. While I was there in prison there, in these prisons in Texas, the door was open for me to go sing on death row. And there I got to meet a woman called Frances Newton. She'd been on death row for many years. On the 14th of September that year, they executed her. They had enormous privilege of singing this song to her. I'm going to sing to you now. It's a song called Passing Through. I'm going to show you some pictures of her. A church inside that prison. This is a maximum security prison. This isn't the death row, but this the death row is in this maximum security section. But this is a wonderful church in that prison you'll see. Thank you.
my Redeemer comes from. My feet want to run to you, 'cause heaven is where we belong. We're just passing through. God's poetry in motion, made to worship you while we pass through. Easy to see where I'm going to. I've learned the hard way, there is no easy way. I'm gonna fix my eyes on you while I'm passing through. God's poetry in motion, made to worship you while I'm passing. There's no way I can conceive of all the good things you have prepared. Oh God, I'm in awe of you. I live my life happy, scared, while I'm passing through. God's poetry in motion, made to worship.
It's God's story in his life, in his family's life. Every one of us has a story to tell. But sometimes we struggle to tell that story. I probably struggled about 20 years to just release that story out of my mouth. And I think in a very simple way, we just need to acknowledge to ourselves, basically say, Marius, you have a story to tell. Say that to yourself. Dalton, I have a story to tell. And then ask the Lord, where can I tell the story? Andre has told his story across the whole world. The other day he spoke about the Aborigines in the central province of Australia. Even there he could share his story and he could hear their story. It's not always about just our story. Other people also have a story to tell. So I want to pray for us this morning that God will release in us the confidence to tell our stories. We need to believe that we have a story to tell. Some of us have a short story because we're still young. Others are a little bit older and we have a longer story. But we all have a story to tell, and it's God's story. Let us pray for us. Thank you, Father, for these moments. Thank you, Lord, that it's all about you. You have drawn us to you, Father. You say in John 6, Jesus says that the Father draws you. And we sit here this morning, every one of us, knowing that you have drawn us to you. And because you have drawn us, we have a story to tell. We know, every one of us, where you have taken us from, where you have pulled us out of. And that is the story, Lord, our brokenness. And that you chose to come and heal us and to deliver us out of that brokenness. But we don't want to be just happy Christians. We want to tell the story of what you've done in our lives. How you have changed us. How you have loved us as a father. We heard this morning that Andre didn't have a father in his life. And I can testify the same. The first day my father left, but you were there from the first day. So everyone here, Lord, we now have a story. And this morning we ask that you will give them and us the confidence, like Andre, to share that story wherever we come. And not to be scared to go to uncomfortable places, whether it's on the street or at a school or in a prison, an old age home, doesn't matter where you take us, but to go there where people need to hear from you. Maybe they don't look the same, or they're not the same as we are, or they look different, or they're not the same status, whatever the case, Lord. Take us into the uncomfortable places where you moved. The places you moved where you were accused of being with people that drank and the prostitutes and the tax collectors. Take us in our life into those places. Release the story out of our mouths. Your story, Lord. We pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.